Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Chester, and welcome to the Move It or Lose It podcast, a podcast about all things that move the mind, body, and soul. The Move It or Lose It podcast is for information, awareness, and inspirational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and I don't even play one on TV. So please consult with your doctor before making any medical decisions. The views expressed by advertisers, guests, or contributors are their opinions and not necessarily the views of the Move It or Lose It podcast. Hi, welcome to another edition of Move It or Lose It. Today, our guest is Victoria Garner, and we're very excited to have her with us. She's going to talk to us today about some of the odd things about having diseases that are hard to diagnose and what it's like to go from a very young age and having to go over and over to doctors and not getting a diagnosis, which many of us can relate to. But today, thank you, Victoria, for being with us and sharing your story with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on. Excited to chat.
Absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, I've been training you now for well over a year, and I'm so excited about the progress you've made physically and the stuff that you've been able to do and all of that. And really just hearing your story and us talking, I've wanted you to do this forever. So I'm really excited that you did it finally. Tell me about like the first memories that you have when your body just didn't feel right, when things were like, something's not working correctly.
I remember as a little kid, just regularly saying to my parents, I don't feel well. I don't feel well. And they'd be like, okay, what do you feel like? What's wrong? And I'd be like, I don't know. I just don't feel well. I had lots of, you know, time periods where I was being tested for mono regularly and it was coming back negative, and we just didn't really know what was going on. And then I seemed to outgrow it and we didn't really think much of it.
How old were you? Like about at that age, how old were you?
I remember a really bad period of not feeling well when I was about 12 or 13.
Okay.
But it was, you know, probably from the time that I was five until I got really sick at 19.
Okay. And so when did you guys move to Mexico?
So that was just me on my own. I moved at 19. I was there for about 5 months. And yeah, 2 days before I was supposed to come home, I woke up one morning and I just did not feel well. I felt like I had the flu. I was living in a dorm room. I was working at a hotel. And so all the staff lived in a dorm. And I remember the guy who lived in the room next to me coming into my room and being like, what is going on? Your bed is shaking against the wall. And it was because I was shaking so much because I was just so sick.
Wow. Like just shaking, like cold shaking?
Yes. And then my stomach turned purple and I got home to New York and my parents were like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And yeah, for sure. And for about 2 days, I just was convinced I had the flu. And then I remember sitting with a friend and we were out to dinner. And why I decided I should go out to dinner when I was this sick, I can't tell
you. My stomach's purple and I should go out to eat for sure.
But I remember talking about sharing food and being like, no, I'm not contagious. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that. I have no memory of, you know, what the symptom that might have changed that was for me, but I knew that something was really wrong.
Mm-hmm. So before, when you were younger and there, and you kind of came out of it, were there tests that they did for you then?
Mainly, I would say just mono and Epstein-Barr over and over and over.
And you were negative for those?
Yes.
So then they test you and you're 19 at this point?
19.
Okay.
And I get diagnosed with a disease called chikungunya, which at the time,
yeah, was able to share what that is because a lot of people still don't know what in the world. So say it slowly.
It's called chikungunya. Yeah. It is not spelled like chicken the animal. It is it's chikungunya.
Good for you to spell that.
It's a mosquito-borne virus, and it's kind of similar to dengue fever, except that instead of having stomach problems, you have back and joint problems.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, the tests actually came back negative because it was so soon into chikungunya being a thing that people even knew about in the U.S. that they didn't have the right tests for all the strains. Okay. But the doctors were pretty positive that this is what it was. I had a classic case of a purple stomach.
Now, did you ever hear that before? Were you like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I was like, I wasn't around chickens. What are you talking about?
I'm sure. Were your parents terrified? Were they like, what?
I think at the time, hearing that I had a mosquito-borne virus seemed like probably one of the better things that it could be. And we didn't know the longevity of what this could turn into right. At the time. I was told, you know, you'll be better in maybe 2 weeks. It might take up to a year for all the joint pain to go away, but, you know, then you'll be fine.
Right. And then what happened after that?
I started college because I moved back to New York the summer before college. So I went to college and I got sicker and sicker and sicker. I was having really bad kind of brain fog and neurological issues at the time and didn't really understand what was going on. And everyone was telling me, you know, you're a college student, so you just have suddenly a new schedule and a lot of stress and all these things. And I was like, I'm literally blacking out periods of time and calling my parents to tell them that if they don't hear from me, I fainted and they should probably, you know, call 911 and things like that. I don't think this is normal.
What was the biggest issue you were dealing with at the time? What was the most pain that you were in?
More so than pain, I would say it was brain fog and fatigue at the time.
Yeah. Well, dealing with brain fog myself with all my stuff, I know that can be so frustrating. And I know, you know, back in the beginning, people would say like, oh, you just got a lot going on. You're fine. I'm like, no, this is different. This isn't like my grandma going into the store saying, I don't remember what I needed. This is really different, but no one taking it, you know, quite serious. So I'm sure you felt like that, trying to just be like, never mind. No one's understanding what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember sitting in a math class one day and I started asking a question and halfway through the question, I just stopped talking because I couldn't remember what I was asking at all. And everyone just looked at me like, are you okay? And I was like, I have no idea what's going on right now. I mean, trying to write papers with really bad brain fog was not great.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, that would not be. So you're at college now. How did you feel like you were going to get through classes? Did you stay?
I did end up actually taking a semester off. Okay. I was taking a reduced course load throughout college as well. I did do an extra year in order to make up for all of that. But mainly it was just really, really supportive professors who understood what was going on. I had one professor who truly was a lifesaver in every way. He is actually the reason that I discovered that I was sick and this wasn't all in my head was I was late on a paper. And, you know, because I was really struggling to write it. And I went to go find him at his office one day. And I was so scared to go talk to him. And I ran into him in the staircase on the way to his office. And as soon as I saw him, I just burst into tears. I didn't even get any words out. And he looked at me and he was like, something is wrong. I have known you at this point for a year and a half. And you are not the person you were when I met you. And I think you're really sick. And it was because of him that I went to my parents and I was like, we really need to be doing more to figure out what's going on. This is not just me recovering from a mosquito-borne virus anymore. Something is just wrong.
Right. So you're in the middle of trying to figure out what this is. Cognitively, nothing's happening, but at the doctors and from the medical world, they're telling you, oh, it's this, and it's going to go away in a few weeks or a few months, but it's not, it's getting worse. And cognitively, you're not able to do anything. You're hardly able to write a paper. And I cannot even imagine socially what it was like. And were you even able to see that doctor again? So I guess it's a two-part. Socially, what was it like? And were you able to see that doctor and say, help, this has been going on, it's still happening, and it's worse?
I saw so very many doctors, all of whom had completely different answers for me because, you know, they were looking at one piece of the puzzle and finding the answer that made sense to them. I did go back to the original doctor that I'd seen, and he, you know, didn't have that many answers at that point, which is understandable. He was an infectious disease doctor. And at that point, you know, seemed like it wasn't probably an infectious disease anymore. From a life perspective, it was just absolutely destabilizing in every way. I didn't have answers for myself, but therefore I also didn't have answers for other people. So I couldn't go to my friend and say, you know, this is why I've disappeared and this is why I'm not a good friend anymore. And so I had a lot of friends who were frankly angry at me. And I also was really angry at a lot of them because I felt like, you know, I'm going through this thing that is absolutely horrible. It has taken over my entire life. I'm a college student and yet I'm barely making it to class. And when I'm not in class, I'm in bed. And that is it. There were days that I spent all day in bed because I literally couldn't get up to walk to the bathroom.
Right.
And I would just sit in bed being like, I need to pee. I need to pee. I need to pee. Let me gain energy.
Yeah. And there was no one there.
Yeah.
So that had to be so hard for you because you couldn't explain it. And yet doesn't sound like there was really anyone there to help you to really, really care to understand what in the world it was, nor would they really if you tried to explain it.
I think that's true. In large part, I also do want to call out that I am so fortunate that I did have some friends who were really, really incredible friends through this. You know, I had a friend who would come to my room just to clean my room because I didn't have the energy to do that.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had people like that in my life, which was incredibly lucky. But I also had a friend going through some mental health stuff at the time. Uh-huh. And I think that's something that a lot of college students can comprehend because that's, you know, fairly common in college. And so I had a lot of friends who were there for her, and I'm so glad they were there for her. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. But I also was sitting there being like, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I, you know, am so sick. My mental health has gone all the way downhill. And yet everybody's mad at me for not being there for this girl, but no one's here for me right now, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of it, you think, just because it was unseen?
I think a lot of it was unseen, which is something that, you know, has been something that I've had to work through since getting healthy or getting healthier, where I've been able to recognize this isn't something that was just on them. You know, I didn't have the words to explain to them what was going on. So yeah, of course they couldn't be there. I think it was also something that just, I was 19 years old, you know, how do you comprehend this as your average 19-year-old? You don't, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so difficult being young and being diagnosed with stuff because you don't have the tools to explain that yet. And you're still trying just to understand, like figure out who you are. And that's really a tough age. And I think that must have been horrific. So once you told your parents that, I think this is something a lot more that we really have to study and figure out what this is that when you then took the semester off to go home and kind of figure it out?
I took the semester off a little bit afterwards. I was supposed to go abroad. I was supposed to go to Denmark for my junior year, and I was so excited. I had my bags packed. I was literally leaving my apartment to go to the airport to fly out, and I got back test results showing that I had a disease called Bartonella, which is similar to Lyme disease, it's a, you know, tick-borne virus. And I was going to need to go through treatment for that. And I was standing in the elevator hallway and I emailed my professors and I emailed my advisor and I emailed the study abroad dean. And I was like, I have a little problem. I'm supposed to be flying out today, right now, actually, but I can't. So what do I do? Can I come back to school? And they were so incredible. They worked everything out literally within 20 minutes so that I could be back for the semester. And we ultimately decided that it just made sense to take the semester off and focus on treatment.
Yeah. Were you glad after? I'm sure you were devastated to begin.
I was glad for a host of reasons. Honestly, it was also just a super fun semester because going through treatment was the first time in years that I felt like, you know, somewhat of a human. I wasn't just bedridden, basically, which was lovely. So I was, you know, out and about in New York with my friends a little bit kind of, finding myself again, which was, I think, a really, really important piece of the journey.
Sure. Now, how was the treatment? What was the treatment for that? What did they do for you?
It was antibiotics to start and then a bunch of various, you know, medications, basically. So mainly pills. In the beginning, it was extremely brutal. I had to sit up for 2 hours after taking each dose of the antibiotics, which I took 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. And I was so sick that I couldn't hold myself up. And my parents would literally sit behind me, holding me up so that I wouldn't have to lie down after taking the antibiotic.
Wow. Explain to people who don't know what that is. What does that feel like? What does that disease feel like?
Ooh, huge amounts of fatigue, huge amounts of brain fog. I was having these kind of one-off random symptoms, one of which was it just felt like my hands were not connected to my arms and like my wrists didn't exist sometimes. I had a headache for multiple years that just did not go away. I tried every migraine medication in the book. That was a really, really big issue at that time. And that was one of the reasons that I decided not to go back to school that semester. I would say those were the biggest pieces that I was dealing with at the time.
Yeah. Probably like a lot of light sensitivity.
Oh, yes, I did. I totally forgot about that one. I did sit in dark rooms wearing 2 pairs of sunglasses because it was too much sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always like too much light. So I have like a bunch of different glasses for like driving night glasses, doing this, doing that. And so eye sensitivity is such a big thing with all of these fun diseases. So then you've got that. You're getting treatments. And so one of the things I wanted to ask too is we talked about socially. How did it affect once you went home? You were able to see some of your friends and stuff. Did you feel more, you talked about that was kind of a fun part. Did you feel more like yourself and like you were not as alone? Did that continue? Even when you went back to school, were you able to feel more like, okay, this is who I am. I don't feel like I'm so lost. And so, or were you feeling sick and like you were still in bed when you went back to school?
Well, so a really fun piece of the puzzle is that I then got back to school and got diagnosed with mold poisoning because after doing the Bartonella treatment, not everything, you know, not all my symptoms had gone away. And we were like, okay, things are still going on. Basically what it seems like is my entire body was just so, you know, depleted and susceptible to things that it was just kind of picking up everything left and right. I did definitely have, you know, more of a social life when I got back. But I think it was also this weird time in my life where I had just, you know, been home with the people who'd been my support system my entire life and been kind of trying to find myself a little bit. And suddenly I was back in this place that I associated with being so sick and trying to reconcile those two identities was difficult. And also just the fear at that point of I went through this treatment and I'm not better. What's going on? Why am I still sick? Was really, really scary.
Are you battling a chronic illness like multiple sclerosis and know it's time to add exercise program and movement to your body in order for you to have the best health and independence for you? I am so excited to announce the launch of my new program, Damn It, a disrupt, move, and transform program for us autoimmune warriors with a trainer who really gets it, me. You can participate in either virtual one-on-one training, virtual group training, or both. To find out more on how you or loved one can benefit from this training, email me, msdisrupted@gmail.com. Message me on Facebook or Instagram at msdisrupted. Look at the website, msdisrupted.com. Take a look. Can't wait to see your face. So how was that? Tell me what that was like with your family dynamic. Because it's just you and your mom and dad, right?
Yep. I am an only child, which sometimes I'm like, I wish I had a sibling. But I think in this case, being able to have their full support at the time was really, really helpful. It was good and bad. Looking at it now, I am so grateful for the time that I had with them. That was really, you know, they were my caretakers. And I have a relationship with them now that is unlike the relationship that I see, you know, anyone my age having with their parents, because there are no walls between us. They learned way more about me than any parent should have to at the time. There were also periods of a lot of anger that I had towards them, because as I mentioned, you know, when I was first sick, it was while I was at college. And so they didn't see what was going on. And I would call them and be like, I don't feel well. I don't feel well. And they would kind of be like, okay, well, you know, take a nap, take some Tylenol. I don't know. And I was really angry for a while that they didn't see what was going on and they weren't understanding everything. But I also can very definitively say that once they understood what was going on, they were there unwaveringly. I think they both had their own kind of timelines and journeys to understanding what was going on. But, you know, my dad was doing everything he could to look up every doctor and every diagnosis and every treatment. And my mom was dropping everything on a daily basis to literally, you know, sleep in my room when I needed it and take care of me in that way. So they were both there 1,000% for me.
Right. And I'm sure it felt terrible for them once they saw you and understood that it was much worse.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that we are, you know, all still working through healing from in our own ways, because my dad only said maybe less than a year ago, he said very recently, he was talking to my boyfriend about, you know, when I was really sick, and he mentioned that he had no idea if I was going to be okay. And that he was scared every day. He would wake up and wonder if I was going to die. And I had no idea that that was a fear of his. And that's traumatic for everyone.
Absolutely. I mean, I think about that when you tell me stories and I think, wow, thank God my kids were healthy. And they, you know, my oldest does have MS and he didn't get diagnosed till he was an adult. And it is terrifying when one of your kids is sick and there's nothing you can do. And the guilt as a parent is, did I give it to them? Like how, I mean, in your head, you know, that's ridiculous. You don't have the power to do that. But there is this guilt of, where did it come from? Is it my side? Did I do it? And so to see your baby, you know, you're always your parent's baby. And so it is so terrifying and so heartbreaking to see your child sick and not be able to fix it. So I'm sure that your parents have had many times where it was very scary.
Definitely.
I remember for me getting diagnosed in my 20s, and I remember feeling like, well, I already had a baby. So I was already feeling much different than friends my age or that I went to school with. And I just, then being sick, I never felt like my age. I always felt like older and had a hard time hanging out with people my age. Cause I just felt like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like the stuff you're talking about is so, I don't mean to sound judgmental, but at the time I felt like this is so stupid compared to like life. And I just didn't feel like I fit anywhere. Is that anything that you felt like or no?
It's something that I still relate to every day. I feel in some ways so much older than I am. You know, I have had to think about things that most people my age have never had to consider as they plan their life. And I'm fortunate now that, you know, I do have a full life, but we didn't think that I was ever going to get there. So that's, you know, still something that I'm grateful for every day.
Yeah.
And on the other side of things, I feel so much younger than I am because I missed 7 years of being a teenager and being in my early 20s. Yeah. And so there's, you know, a lot that is new to me that my friends have been, you know, living for years.
Yeah. And it's kind of like this ability to redo things. But there are things that you feel like you missed out on because you missed a certain amount of years. And so you can't get them back, but you can still have fun doing some things. And I always just feel like it, if anything, it keeps us younger. So we'll just age really well.
My grandmother looks probably 20 years younger than she is. So I'm really, fingers crossed, I have those genes.
Yes. That's what I always pray for. I had a grandma that was awesome looking. I'm like, yes, please let me look like that. So, I mean, when I see you, I have to constantly remind you, like, slow down. Because you have a very good attitude and you really want to do the best. And including with work, you're always answering work emails. I'm like, hello, my time with you. But you're very good about responding and about getting down to your work. And I know that's a big deal, very important to you. Did you ever think that you'd be where you are with your job and your work now? Like back when you were sick and you were feeling like, I don't know what this is. Am I going to live, die?
Not even a little bit, for so many reasons. One, just because I didn't, you know if I was going to be okay. And that's, you know, as we've discussed, that's terrifying. And that's something that's a really, really hopeless feeling, where I would look at the future and it was just a black hole, entirely a black hole, because I didn't even want to picture what it would look like in a year, because if it didn't look any better, then that was upsetting, you know?
Right.
I also have a very different life than I expected to have. I never saw myself moving to Detroit and becoming a consultant. I'm in, you know, a very specific niche of consulting. I'm a service designer. And if you'd asked me what that was a couple of years ago, I would have, more than a couple of years ago now, I guess. If you'd asked me what that was when I was in college, I would have said, I have no idea.
Well, tell people what that is who don't know what that is.
I look at the intersection between people, processes, and often technology. Basically looking at kind of how do you go through from defining your business objectives through to going through user research, creating your solutions, mapping those back to those business objectives, and doing that while considering your people, processes, and technology.
Very good. Very needed.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love it. Highly recommend the field if anyone's interested. But it's also something that for me is a huge lesson in positivity, because
yeah,
I had things come out of being sick that I never would have expected. You know, as I said, I'm living a different life than I'd pictured for myself. I kind of assumed I was going to stay in New York City and go into finance. And I am 10 times happier than I would have been if I had done that, because that just isn't the right thing for me. And that's okay.
Right.
And I'm really, really grateful for that. I have this really strong belief that everything in life is cyclical. So anything that's positive can have something negative come out of it. And anything that's negative can have something positive come out of it. Because, you know, when something's really, really positive, you can get complacent and things can still happen. And when things are negative, you go looking for how can I get out of this and how can I make this better? And that's what happened to me with being sick, was I started to think about, what do I miss in my daily life? What do I want to be doing in my career? And I was able to make that happen for myself, which is, you know, really cool.
That is really awesome. I think it's a great attitude. And I think that if more of us adopted that, if we really could take a breath. And, you know, today in Michigan was actually a beautiful day. And it's like, I woke up and it was dark and gloomy and I thought, oh, it's going to be terrible. But, you know, when the sun's out, take that minute to go out and just enjoy that minute and take that time to just enjoy the things that we don't stop to enjoy. And I think that gets us, you know, into that negativity where we can go so quick, especially when we're not feeling well. And so often I see that there's a difference between that joyful personality of people that are dealing with things because they've gone through so much, but they've also realized to be so grateful for the days that are good. Then you see people that are the same, have gone through the same stuff, but nothing can make them happy. Nothing, you know, can make them thankful or grateful. And it's sad to me because I think, man, I would hate to go through all this stuff, you know, that you and I have gone through, and on top of it, be just very depressed and very just angry. And I don't see that with you. So what do you think that is behind that? What do you think keeps you wanting to keep going and that drive and that positive attitude?
Therapy, 100% therapy. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely have those days where I am down and angry at the world and just, you know, miserable. And to an extent, that's okay too. Absolutely. I have been really fortunate to have the support system that I have now. And frankly, I know that that, you know, comes with a level of privilege that not everyone has access to be able to pay for that support and that therapy. My parents are huge in reminding me to enjoy the little things. I've been really explicit with my boyfriend that I need that to be something that he reminds me to do too. And so sometimes he'll call that out for me as well, which I appreciate. I think the biggest thing for me has actually been working with a life coach. And that is something that my dad suggested to me. And when he said it, I was like, okay, I'm not working with a life coach. That sounds like not a real thing, you know?
Yeah, I know you got on me that it's not on my cards. You're like, why are you not putting that? I'm like, I don't know. So it's now on my cards. You're like, you'd be so busy. No one would ever leave. You'd like, you're on with me. You give me advice. I'm like, I know I have to put that on. So yes, now it is. But no, you're right. That is huge. That is a big thing. And when I do that, it's big. And I love being able to do that with, and most often it's with girls, and it's most often your age or a little bit younger. And it's getting through this few years of your life. And it's a huge thing.
Definitely. I think one of the things that's really cool to me is kind of understanding the differentiation between life coaching and therapy, and that therapy is often kind of looking back at that trauma and working through it. And that is absolutely so important and has been hugely beneficial for me. I also found that I was getting to a place where I just kept looking at myself as I'm the sick girl and I need to work through this. And I wasn't forward thinking. And working with a life coach who's been able to say, you know, let's talk about steps for getting out of this. Has been huge. And I also, now that I recognize that that was something that I needed more of, and you know, that's personal to me and everybody's going to have different things that work for them. I've also been able to speak to my therapist a little bit more about saying, you know, I want to be a little more forward thinking at times
too. Yeah. Which is great. It's so important. And I think, you know, a lot of the girls have a therapist and me. I think that it's really important because there's things that you need to talk to your therapist about and agree, like that forward thinking and homework. Okay, so now let's go to here. So what if we move forward and this time we're going to try it this way? And I think that's so important and so good for our self-growth as human beings, but also to know that we knocked that one down and now we're able to go to the next thing. And it's so empowering. So I'm glad that you're doing that. And I can see that that helps a lot. Where do you see yourself going in the next couple of years? Like, let's look at 5 years. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I think that that's something that I still have a really hard time answering because I'm scared to think that far in the future. And I think I'm at a point where I am much better able to think, you know, what do I want right now? What do I want in a year? And I think that I almost intentionally have not considered what do I want in 5 years? What do I want in 10 years? Because I know how quickly life can change, you know, in the blink of an eye. For me, I got a mosquito bite and woke up one morning and my whole life was different. And I want to enjoy the present and I want to be thinking about the fact that, you know, there are things in my life that are making me happy right now and thinking about, you know, what's the next thing, but not necessarily what is coming in 5 years. Having said that, I probably should start thinking about that. So come back to me on that one in a couple of days.
Yeah. I think I had like really great advice from my counselor years ago who said, you know, you can plan for it and get excited, but hold on to it loosely. I think that was really good advice for me to like have that plan where I would like to be, but then like it can change some and it probably will change a little and it's okay. But there are times where it's like, what is the next best step to take that's best for my health and that's best for what I can see for my future, my work, my education, you know, what does that look like? And I think that you do really well with that. I think that's good thinking forward, like even like 2 years and then 3 years. And then again, just not holding it so tight that it can't change. I wanted to ask you one of my big things that I like to ask is if you could look back at your younger self or even now, what would that message be?
I would leave two different messages. One for people who are going through what I went through and are undiagnosed, and one for their support systems and people who are just learning more about the situation. For people who are undiagnosed right now, I think the biggest thing that I would say is you know your body best, and there are going to be so many doctors and so many people who are telling you, you know, this isn't something real. There are so many social media accounts that quote people who've gone to doctor's offices and who, you know, have heard that from their doctors. So those are very validating to follow, I will say that. But it's also, you know, by knowing your body best, you have to advocate for yourself. And that is exhausting. And it is okay to be exhausted and feel like your life is less stable than you might want it, and to be angry at times and to let yourself feel those emotions, because that is the only way you're going to get through it. So definitely feel those feelings and then use those to motivate yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Very good.
And the thing that I would say to people who are not undiagnosed, but just, you know, maybe know somebody who's going through this, is have patience, have empathy, and have grace. You are never, ever, ever going to understand what they are going through on, you know, a minute by minute basis, let alone on a yearly basis. And I know that's a harsh thing to say, and so I don't really love saying it, but frankly, it's the truth. You are never going to see how time consuming, how expensive, how terrifying, how exhausting, how destabilizing, how isolating it is to be going through something like this, and try to support them through that. And understands that maybe they're not going to be the type of friend that they want to be to you, but they are going to be there in every way that they know how to be there, and just have grace through that.
Victoria, I think that could not have been said better. And I'm so thankful that you came on and to explain just what it's like to have different diseases and be tested for things that people may not understand what those are. So thank you for coming on and just sharing your story and what you've had to go through all of this. And can't wait to see what you're doing in 5 years.
Me too. I will keep y'all posted when I have any idea what it looks like.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Move It or Lose It podcast, where you can again find us wherever you like your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, join us on that. And we can't wait to see you again. We're going to have a lot of exciting guests and working together. And as always, you'll hear us say at the end of every podcast, we are stronger together. So let's do it. Let's become stronger together. Have a great day.